Welcome to Resurrection Camp Meeting 2021, live from Family Worship Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, let's go live to Family Worship Center as this service begins.
If you have your Bibles tonight, I won't hold you too long. As the old saying goes, just until we get through. I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 10. Isaiah 28, verse 10. The scripture says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.' Yet they would not hear." And I want to use for a subject, ministering just for a few moments tonight, those three words found in verse 12, rest and refreshing. And we're going to be praying once again for believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know some of you may say, "Well, didn't your dad already do that on Thursday night?" Yeah, but you got to understand, we're still Pentecostal. We don't relegate that message to just one time or one night. It could be whenever the Lord deems it fit. And I believe that we're going to see some individuals filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. Rest and refreshing. Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you once again for everything that you have done, are doing, and will do. We ask and we seek for your anointing to minister your word and anoint our ears to hear what you would have us to say. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
And everyone said,
amen.
I want you to take a look around. I want you to look at everything that we have here. And I want you to realize that everything you see before you is a legitimate work of the Holy Spirit. Now, do you get that? This was not done by man's talent or man's ingenuity. This was all organized and designed by the Holy Spirit. And I know that he has told this story any number of times, but I'm going to share it one more time tonight because it is necessary for us to see this. But what I'm speaking of began in our family in the 1940s. When my grandfather was about 8 years of age, when his grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, whom I've, of course, never met, but will meet soon, when she left Faraday, Louisiana to head to a Pentecostal camp meeting. And when she arrived back in Faraday, Louisiana, she was not the same person she was when she left. Because she experienced a phenomenon that has literally changed my family's life. We're talking about this phenomenon of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God would give the utterance. And whenever her family would look at her and say she's done gone crazy over religion, they all viewed it as a negative. But you see, something began to bubble up within my grandfather's heart and said, "I don't see this as a negative. I see this as a positive." And there was a hunger that began to develop in his heart. And let me tell you something, church. When you really get hungry for God, God will always lead you to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he would pedal his bicycle down to her house and say, "Nanny, tell me what happened." She would make her cup of tea and she would say, Jimmy, sit down. And she would begin to explain to him everything that had happened. But you see, when it got to the one part where she went through to the Holy Spirit, she just couldn't talk about it. Because the very moment she got to that moment, she would throw her hands up, have a Church of God jerk, and start speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And you see, what was in her began to flow down to my grandfather. And day after day, week after week, he would go back, say, Nanny, tell me again. Jimmy, sit down. And the moment she got to that part, she would have a Holy Ghost conniption. And that birthday hunger in an 8-year-old boy who would soon go through to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And when that experience happened, he couldn't speak in English for several days at a time. Let me tell you something. When God moves, he moves. When he touches, he touches. But that's not the end of the story. Because in the 1960s, Detroit, Michigan, Brightmoor Tabernacle, on a cold winter's night, a 12-year-old boy sitting right over here was laying flat on his back speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God would give him the utterance. But you see, the story doesn't stop there either, because soon he would move to Dallas, Texas, or Waxahachie, Texas for a short time, and go to an Assembly of God Bible College there in Waxahachie, Southwestern. And he would one day soon meet up with a Mississippi girl who was full of the Holy Ghost herself. They would get married and they would produce 3 children. And in the late 1980s, as an 8-year-old boy sitting right over here on a Sunday night, my younger brother Matthew, who is here tonight, he said, I want the Holy Spirit for myself. And he came down to the front on a Sunday night, and my father looked at him and we began to pray for him, and he motioned to me and said, Gabriel, come pray for your baby brother. Now I got to tell you something. I got to be honest. I wasn't thinking about the Holy Spirit at that time. I was just an 8-year-old boy kicking the pew in front of me, minding my own business. And I walked up, and the moment I laid my hand on my brother, I felt something. I felt something stirring up on the inside of me. It was like a river that was about ready to be unleashed. And my dad looked at me and said, Gabriel, the Holy Ghost is all over you. Lift your hands, open your mouth, and begin to speak what you sense and feel. And as an 8-year-old boy, I just obeyed and lifted up my hands, and I started speaking with other tongues. Glory to God. Hallelujah! That changed my whole world. But you see, the story don't stop there. Because I got married to a Holy Ghost filled fox. And we've got 4 girls. I need prayer, guys. But you see, that experience did not end with me, because a few years ago at a kids' camp, down at an altar, my oldest, Samantha, my mini-me, my twin, she looks like me, acts like me, walks like me, talks like me. At an altar at kids' camp, with her hands raised, went through to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? It won't stop with her, but I'm claiming every one of my kids, every one of my nieces, every one of my nephews to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I got news for you. I know some of you may have a problem with this, but I've got to tell you, it's real. It's real. It's real. You might have an argument, but honey, I got an experience, and I'll take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. What I'm telling you is that this phenomenon is not man-made. It is not gibberish. It's not something that you just make up in your mind. And it ain't demon spirits either. What we are talking about is a work of God. And let me help you. Let me just go through some things real quick tonight. As I told you, I won't keep you long, because I know some of you are already getting hungry. But let me just help you for a moment. Dad touched on this. Brother Larson touched on this. When we speak of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, we are speaking of a separate work of grace apart from salvation. It is a separate work of grace. Meaning this, when you got saved, yes, the Holy Spirit comes inside, but that is for regeneration. He is now able to dwell in your heart and in your life. But you don't need to stop there, because God has more for you to experience. And whatever He's called you to do, you need the infilling of the Holy Spirit for power. Oh, I wish I had some Pentecostals here this evening. Honey, you need power. I don't care what you do, you need power. I don't care what God's called you to do, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. At salvation, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 3 through 5. But at Spirit baptism, Jesus, who is the baptizer, will baptize you with or into the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power. But you shall receive power. But you shall receive power. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Once you get saved, you are a candidate for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And whenever you don't go through or refuse to go through, you are leaving so much on the table that God desires and wants you to have. I don't care if you're Baptist, I don't care if you're Methodist, I don't care if you're Catholic, I don't care if you're Pentecostal. If you are saved by the blood of Jesus, guess what? You need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Why? To do what God has called you to do. If you are a baker, you need the Holy Spirit. If you are a candlestick maker, you need the Holy Spirit. If you're a banker itself, you need the Holy Spirit. If you're an athlete, you need the Holy Spirit. If you're a coach, you need the Holy Spirit. If you're a wife, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're a mama, you need the Holy Spirit. If you're a daddy, you need the Holy Spirit. You need power. To do what? To lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. To walk all over devils. To see souls saved. To see lives changed. You need power. This is not just a feel-good thing. Yeah, it makes you feel good, but you need power. Because you're going to be facing demons and devils and darkness, and you need a power within you that's greater than the powers of darkness. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, if Jesus needed it, oh, come on now. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, where does that leave us? How do you know that? In Luke chapter 3, the scripture talks about Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. When John saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And when he baptized Jesus, the scripture says the heavens opened, the Father spoke, and a dove, the Holy Spirit in the shape of a dove, came down and rested upon Jesus. Notice, he didn't begin his ministry until that event. Oh, that should tell you something. He didn't begin his earthly ministry until he was full of the Holy Spirit. And you need to know this. Everything that Jesus did on this planet during his 3.5 years of earthly ministry, he did not do as God, but he did as a man full of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? In order for you to be used of God the way that he desires, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost. I wish I had somebody in here that would get a little happy on that one. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit and power. And if Jesus needed it, where does that leave us? The next thing you need to know regarding the infilling of the Holy Spirit is before Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, he told his disciples, don't do anything. Don't preach, don't teach, don't hold meetings, don't go sing, don't do anything until you've been endued with power from on high. The scripture says he commanded them. That command is still prevalent to us right now. That command is still upon us right now. He's telling us, don't go preach, don't go teach, don't go sing until you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. I know some people say, well, we really don't need the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, sir, ma'am, without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, little or nothing can be done for the cause of Christ. The reason is because whatever is done, if it's not birthed, organized, designed by the Holy Spirit, then it's all on man. I had a youth pastor a few years ago tell me, he got angry when I said that. He's a Pentecostal youth pastor. He got angry when I said that. He said, I don't agree with that. I said, young man, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? No. There you go. Let me say this. If you belong to the Pentecostal, a Pentecostal denomination, you better get full of the Holy Ghost, because you have no business standing behind this pulpit without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need youth pastors who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that will stand for the baptism with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. That will preach it, that will live it, that will deliver it. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. If that was a command 2,000 years ago, it has not changed from then until now. Pastors, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost. If you want to see revival break out in your church, get full of the Holy Ghost. Get on your knees and start asking God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to hit you where it hurts. Because in order, if you attend a church that claims to be a spirit-filled church, then there's got to be some characteristics that permeate from that church that are noticeable, not hidden. Not hidden in a back room somewhere. Not just relegated to a back room in a back corner in a church somewhere. I'm talking about things that need to be prevalent in the life of that church in order for it to be called a spirit-filled church. The first thing that needs to be a characteristic of a New Testament, a book of Acts, a spirit-filled church, is that you must preach on Jesus Christ and Him crucified for salvation and salvation, and that's it. You talk about the blood of Jesus, that's what needs to be preached for salvation. If it's Jesus plus, get out. If it's Jesus plus something, leave. They ain't gonna miss you anyway. If they preach something other than the cross for salvation, then get out. You're not gonna miss it, and they're not gonna miss you. Find a place where they still preach on the blood of Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You are saved by grace through faith. The second thing that needs to be preached is the Acts 2 experience. And I want to say it one more time. They don't need to be preaching this once a year. This needs to be a common denominator in those spirit-filled churches. We're living in the last of the last days. And Dad said it on Thursday night. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Honey, this church needs to be preaching, and we do preach on the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I heard this. I hope it's true I hope it's not true. But I heard this, that at a particular Pentecostal church, that the pastor got up and said, we're not going to be preaching on the Holy Spirit. If you want to be filled and if you speak in tongues, don't do it in person and don't do it in the church. Go somewhere else and speak in tongues. I had a pastor came to me at a youth conference about 3 or 4 years ago. Across the street, we were having a late night gathering. And I went over there just to observe. And a pastor came up to me, shook his hand, and he introduced himself. He said, I pastor a church in Texas. I said, well, great. How did you hear about Crossfire? This was his first time bringing his kids to IYC. And I said, how did you hear about it? He said, well, I got a story for that. He belonged to a particular Pentecostal denomination, and he took his kids, his youth group, to that district's youth camp. And he said, I watched for a moment. There was only one message on salvation the whole week, one. There were zero messages on the baptism with the Holy Spirit, zero. And he said, I was confused, and I stopped the youth pastor, and I said, why are you not preaching on the Holy Spirit? This was his response. Kids don't understand that. They really don't need that. They don't understand that. We just need to give them some stuff and just let them feel good. And he said, you know, I thought he may have been on to something because I'm older. I can't relate to this generation. And to be honest, I was discouraged. And I thought to myself, I thought we were Pentecostal. What an indictment. And he went home confused and hurt and discouraged. Then he just happened to flick on the television. And he said, Pastor Gabe, it was on IYC. And he said, it was the Friday night of youth conference. And he said, I didn't really know much about you. I heard of your grandfather, but I really didn't know much about you or anything like that. But I just tuned in and I saw it was a youth camp and it just perked my interest. And whenever you got up, you started preaching on the baptism with the Holy Ghost. He said, I called my wife. Honey, get in here. She came in and said, what am I looking at? He looked at her and said, look, that's Jimmy Swaggart's church. And that's Jimmy Swaggart's grandson. Who? That's Jimmy Swaggart's youth camp. So He said they're preaching on the infilling of the Holy Spirit. She watched. He watched. He said, Pastor Gabe, when you gave the altar call and we saw hundreds of young people come around this front and we started seeing them baptized with the Holy Spirit, I got up and I started shouting, it's back, it's back, it's back, it's back, it's back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to get back to preaching on the baptism with the Holy Ghost. The next characteristic, I told myself I was going to be dignified tonight. I'm not going to take off my jacket. I'm not going to do all that kind of stuff. But it is really hot up here. The next characteristic is that divine healing must be preached. Joseph, my Lord, that boy flat preached this morning. He mentioned it. But I'll just give you, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. He mentioned about my healing. And let me tell you something. I believe in divine healing. Why? Because I've experienced it. When I was 17 years of age, senior in high school, October of 1996, I was the starting point guard for our high school basketball team, the Family Christian Academy Flames. I had longed for this year. This was my year. Worked for it. Got up early, early, early in the wee hours of the morning to practice. Stayed in the gym nearly all day during the summer, working out, shooting and practicing, getting my coach up and bugging him to meet me at the gym to practice. First game of the year, we were playing one of our rivals. Second quarter, I'm pushing the ball up the court. I can still see it in my mind's eye. All those almost over 20 years ago, I'm pushing the ball up the court, and right before me, I did not see there was a large wet spot on the court, and my knee hit that wet spot, and when it did, my knee went this way, my body went that way, and my knees did this. But to make it worse, there was a guy on the other team who I'd played against since we were in eighth grade. He came charging right at me, and he couldn't stop, and his knee hit my knee. And I was already bent, and it bent it that much more. I dropped in horrific pain. My knee swole up. It was discolored. It was nasty. It was gnarly. It was gross. And I thought to myself, my God, my season is over. My dad ran down from the stands. He prayed for me right there. My coach did, but nothing happened. They carried me off the court, and I'm sobbing in tears with the pain. I didn't go to school the next day or Wednesday. I stayed home. And that night, I didn't go to church. I was too hurt and in too much pain. I was laying on my floor on a Wednesday night at about 8:15 with my knee propped up in so much pain when I heard the door slam open and slam shut. And I heard feet running up the stairs, and my door was about 3/4 of the way shut. And my father lunges into my room and slams open my door. His eyes were this big. He said, Gabriel, when I was leaving Bible study, the Holy Ghost came all over me. He said, go home, lay hands on your boy. I'm going to heal him. He said, son, you've got to believe that all things are possible to him that believe. He took his handkerchief, anointed it with oil, and slapped it on my knee and said, in the name of Jesus. He said, we come before you and we declare healing right now in the name of Jesus. After about 15 minutes, He got up and said, "You're healed." And walked out the room, leaving me on the floor. When all of a sudden, I felt a voice speak to me. He said, "Son, stand up. Stand up. Stand up." I said, "God, I can't. I'm hurt." He said, "Son," I said, "stand up." I hobbled up and I stood and I looked down and all of a sudden I felt that voice say, "Walk." I was doing this and the Spirit said, "No, I said walk." And I started by faith, just started walking, and I looked down. When I looked down, my knee was back to normal. Woo! Glory, glory, glory to God. I was healed, I was healed, I was healed. And I declare it by the authority that is in the name of Jesus that every sickness be healed right now. He is my healer. He is my healer. I declare cancer healed in the name of Jesus. I declare sickness healed in the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands right now and start receiving it. Just lift your hands right now and start receiving it. I feel like something good is about ready to happen. I feel like something good is on its way. Healing is here. Healing is here. Healing is here in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just let him heal you right now. Let him fill you right now. Let him touch you right now. I don't care who you are. God is able to do for you what you need to be done. Sickness can't stay any longer. Sickness can't stay any longer. We declare healing in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whatever you need is, God's got it. Whatever you need is, God's got it. I feel it in my spirit. God's getting ready to heal some folk here tonight. If you've got a need this evening, I want you to step out of your seat right now, and I want you to come down to this front. We're going to pray for you, and I want you to start to believe in God for your healing. I want you to start declaring it. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Just sing that chorus if you can. I don't care who you are, just come around this front. Just come around this front right now.
Healing is here.
Start believing it in the name of Jesus.
Healing is here.
Healing is here.
And I receive it.
Say, "Lord, I receive it." By television, by radio, by internet.
We hope you enjoyed this live Resurrection Camp Meeting service from the Sun Life Broadcasting Network.